Around the NFL Podcast. Definitely had a Mountain Dew phase.
Welcome to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, coming to you from a virtual room filled with heroes. Mark Sessler, Greg Rosenthal. What is up, boys? Happy Friday.
Hey now. I did have a Mountain Dew face. That's like the only soda you could drink like without even it being refrigerated. And it's the only soda you can like drink the whole can. At least back, you know, when I was having that face. I mean, you could drink that in under a minute pretty easily. Like, and you would. It's just like easy to just put it back.
Let's just let Greg keep discussing this because I want to hear and learn more about
this. Even if I was 15 and I was slugging down like a 20-ounce bottle of Mountain Dew, I was like, oh, this probably isn't good for me.
No.
I kind of miss doing the thing where, this wasn't all the time, but you go to 7-Eleven or wherever and make the old suicide where you mix like 8 different sodas together.
Is that what they called it in Connecticut? I didn't know what that was.
They did that in the Northeast too. Suicide. Yeah, you get every flavor.
Right, and it's very adventurous. And in the end, it still just sort of tastes
like Coke.
What makes it suicidal?
Right. I never heard that one. But yeah, it's a safe childhood that's like the closest you get to a little bit of danger is mixing sodas.
Yeah, I should have mixed more like real life suicide watch scenarios into my childhood. I'll maybe, you know, you're right.
Keep working at it, Mark. As you can see, I'm still in Texas. I was supposed to fly back. I had a 2:45 flight back to LA yesterday, and I completely packed my bags. I was walking down the steps to get in the car, and I said to my wife, Emily, I said, well, I don't want to go. I don't need to go. The reason I was flying back Thursday is because I thought we were going to have an NFL Network show. Didn't. So Emily checked the airlines, and it was just a minimal rebooking fee. So now I'm staying till Sunday. And we'll see. We'll take it from there. I might just keep pushing this thing back. Should I return?
Why?
You know,
right.
If you follow the gram at all, boys, I'll tell you why I don't have to hurry back. Beautiful photo of my son Harrison, Harry Hansis, on the boat on Lake LBJ. This is a place I don't want to leave. There's a reality to confront, but I will be back, just not as originally planned.
Why not stay? Your family is potentially staying longer than you are? That's even more reason to stay. Why not stay? What's bringing you back even?
Got to go back. You can't just leave. You have to
check on the house. We've heard about that, and that you'd be coming up to that point again. But I just think you kind of flex your muscles as a free man to just decide, I'm not doing what people tell me to do. I'm going to stay right here in Texas on LBJ Lake, Lyndon Baines Johnson Lake.
Lake LBJ.
That one.
Okay. It's beautiful here. Kingsland, Texas. All right. Today's show, Friday news show, so we'll get you caught up on everything that's going on in the league since we last spoke on Wednesday, and haven't done this in a while. Always fun. A little bit mailbag. Greg, sometimes you're a little up and down with outreach with the listeners. Are you okay with doing a little mailbag today?
I'm good with it. It's not about the outreach. It's more, is it going to be good? You know? Mailbag had its time, you know? Had its time in the early 2000s.
Well, you're putting a lot of pressure on the other two people here to make this something more than a mailbag, it sounds like. Isn't it just sort of a nice segment?
It's a perfect Friday little show here.
That's exactly the answer that I thought Greg would give.
What? I was trying to give you what you wanted. I really didn't have much of a feeling, so I tried to remember why you thought I don't like mailbags.
I don't know. It was great, though. It was exactly what I thought was going to happen. All right, let's do some news.
What do we call it, Mark?
Sam Darnold.
Matt Damon. That's from the NFL Network broadcast program, last Friday's episode. And we are in talks behind the scenes to continue on the television through the season. Nothing set in stone, but it seems to be heading in that direction. And we're working on how we're going to do that and how we're going to bring the show to NFL Network, how it will be different from the podcast, how it might be the same. It's all, you know, you might think, listeners, dear listeners who we love, that we just show up and sit in front of a laptop and a microphone and just talk for 45 minutes or an hour and 10 minutes. And, oh, we're just a bunch of guys at the bar hanging out. That's why they're so relatable. No, none of this is an accident. Everything is work.
I'm never at the cranking.
Bar. Never. Greg's never at a bar. Always working behind the scenes to bring the best version of the Around the NFL podcast. That's what we do.
Absolutely.
Unless, like, we don't have a seg, then we just do the mailbag.
This is going to be, we're going to be here the minute we sign off. We're going
to
get
it. I think that was how I used to feel. It was like, oh, well, we're out of ideas. Let's do a mailbag. But you know what? I'm embracing being out of ideas right now. That's for sure.
Just to be clear, plenty of ideas. Had plenty of ideas, but the mailbag's a nice way to interface with the fans.
It's important.
Getting back to my original point. Some people like to do that. Some people don't.
If you accept any of the feedback, it's like you got to accept all of it. So I take none of it.
Let's do some news, starting with familiar name, LeSean McCoy. He's got another job. Did you know that LeSean McCoy won a Super Bowl last year? He did. He was on the Chiefs roster. He wasn't on the Super Bowl roster. They left him off, and he was not active on game day when the Chiefs knocked off the Niners to claim the title. And he wants his career to end in a different way. So what does that mean? Probably getting on the field to start. And the veteran running back is signing a one-year deal worth just over $1 million with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Rap Sheet had this. He spent some of this offseason talking about where he would like to go, how he'd like to get more playing time. And the Eagles were thrown out there, a potential reunion here, Mark Sessler. But ultimately, he ends up in Tampa Bay, a place where he could potentially carve out a role.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, we talked about a few camp battles earlier in the week. And this is an interesting one in Tampa Bay because, you know, obviously with Tom Brady there, the theme has been who's going to be their third down pass catching back. And, you know, Keyshawn Vaughn was drafted. He's on their COVID list right now. And so I think there's a chance with Ronald Jones there that McCoy could certainly play a role in the third down area. I don't think he's the same player right now, but he's someone that has like 500 career catches. He can do that. They've got a few other guys too that are battling for it. I can't wait to see what happens.
He's got to make the team. I mean, I saw these like tweet. You know, it's like, you know, ESPN's NFL Twitter like sends out. It's like, check out this 2020, you know, Bucks team, and it's like Evans, Godwin, Gronk, McCoy, Brady. And it's like, well, McCoy, you know, he's only on the team, as Mark mentioned, because I think Keyshawn Vaughn's on the COVID list. He's got to make the team. But who knows? That is a bad-looking backfield. I wrote up camp battles this week. I put in it, like, they're going to have to add someone to this backfield because Ronald Jones can't do third downs. Keyshawn Vaughn's a rookie. Like, it just didn't look like it was good enough. So he might make that team and be a little frisky. Could be a bunch of Hall of Famers, or at least, you know, close to Hall of Famers in that team.
I mean, I wonder what Tom Brady's input is with any of this stuff, because he probably wants some veteran presence in there to do that, versus they have a seventh rounder that they said could maybe be their pass catching back too. But Brady seems to have quite a bit of influence.
It's like the consolation prize for not having Antonio Brown. It's like, well, we're not giving you him, Tom Brady, but we'll give you McCoy. You're right. He probably did ask for him.
McCoy is less than 1,000 yards away from 12,000 career rushing yards. He'd like to get that this season. He really has had, and we've studied this guy from an off-the-field perspective too, and it hasn't always been pretty, but he has put together a Hall of Fame-level career. I just want to, yards from scrimmage through his golden period, which really was about 2010 to 2017, a run that saw him go to the Pro Bowl six times, All-Pro twice, 1,700 yards, 1,600 yards, 1,200 yards, 2,100 yards, that was 2013, 1,500 yards, 1,200 yards, 1,600 yards, 1,600 yards. I mean, this dude was a baller. Now, he's not that guy anymore. So we'll see. Maybe he gets to this abbreviated camp and he shows nothing. He doesn't make the team, but he's a name brand.
I just wanted to put something, you know, like it's nice to have something first in news that's not COVID related. So that's what McCoy is really doing for us right now.
That's a good job, Greg.
Yes, exactly. And now let's get to some COVID talk because one of the people in the backfield for Kansas City that was active for Super Bowl 54 and he put together a game for the ages, Chris Wessling, I believe, thought he should have been the MVP of the game, Damian Williams. Well, he won't be the MVP of any Super Bowl in 2020 or 2021 because he has opted out of the 2020 season. Chiefs general manager Brett Veach announced in a statement. Williams, Greg, was a guy that was a part of what they did, like a big part of their role, and then he had the game-clinching touchdown in Super Bowl 54. It changes things around in that backfield.
I mean, he was so good. Like, if he didn't have the career he had beforehand, people would have given him way more credit, but he had bounced around the league. He's another guy who kind of escaped Gase's Dolphins team. It's funny to look back on those teams. And Williams, I thought, was going to do a better job holding off their rookie, Edwards-Helaire, than people thought. That it was going to be a little bit more of a split situation, and maybe the guys who are taking Edwards-Helaire in the top 20 in fantasy drafts were going to be a little disappointed. Well, that's out the window. And he mentioned his mom, who's in her 70s, you know, was diagnosed with cancer, and he wants to stay and take care of her and didn't think he should be like going back and forth from the team. So it totally makes sense. And it just means Edwards-Helaire is going to have to step up and play a lot. They might have to sign someone else too. That's the thing, is like all the, you mentioned the injuries are coming too, and we've had the opt-outs, we had the COVID list. I just feel like teams are going to have to be signing a few extra veterans maybe than they normally would be.
I mean, they have a lot of guys, and they have, I'm not saying that they're starters, but DeAndre Washington is there.
That's right, yeah.
They have Darrell Williams, Darwin. They have way too many. When you throw in Damian Williams, my one issue with the Chiefs last
year. Bunch of bros.
Well, there was a million guys with the first name starting in D, and I couldn't figure out who any of them were for like 8 weeks, which is not a great sign in this career path. But, you know, so this is nice. You got a different type of name in there, and this is one of those moves where the minute it happened, I'm like, I'm off Twitter for like the 24 hours because it's a bunch of, it's nothing but fantasy heads with their panties in a bunch over this developing situation in Kansas City. And I get it. I mean, it clearly
makes him. You got to stop following all these fantasy guys then.
Well, I mean, I do
at least
like
some of them. I mean, not I like the Norris
generally,
and the Roto Pats and the Silvas of the world, but maybe you got some riffraff in there too. You know what I mean?
I might have to read, maybe this weekend that could be a project. Who do I chop
also,
out
here? Yeah, I imagine it's probably pretty easy to make comments like that from your little room in your home. But if Evan Silva was standing in front of you, would you say the same thing?
Well, I'm
the
definitely not speaking.
6'7" behemoth.
I'm definitely not speaking about any of Evan Silva directly, who I think is probably one of the few people that uses Twitter correctly. I wouldn't say that about myself at times or 97% of the other people that I encounter on Twitter.
People don't know this, but Evan
Got a
Silva.
Clap from Greg there.
Well, yeah, killing a mosquito, but hey, sorry.
Formerly of Roto World, now at the great site Established the Run with Adam Leviton.
Great site.
8 feet tall.
Right, he could step in and fill some of these voids that are being triggered by COVID.
He looks like a right tackle.
Does.
He really does. He should play right tackle.
Silva also born with the antibodies. I mean, the man is essentially
all set
invincible.
All set to go.
Where was I? Oh, yes. Before Mark cut down the fantasy industry for some reason, I wanted to point out that, yes, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, their young running back, is a guy that could go in the first round. And Adam Rank, our good buddy, who did such a great job for our fantasy football extravaganza last year, I would like to have him on again.
It's great.
If that's okay with Mark, I don't know. I mean, I don't
come
know.
On. Obviously,
if,
you know
if Rank
that
gets his panties in a bunch, I don't know.
Am I wrong? I do think that I'm not. That it was a hot point in their summer long, you know, create your team scenario there. But it did get everyone real hot takey about the Chiefs' backfield. No, I'm not saying they were
that's
doing
okay,
the right
though.
Thing.
That's okay, though. That's what that industry is about.
It is okay.
People want some news. I mean, people are desperate for the football news to talk about. I think so. You know what I mean? Like, this is like, okay, like, you know, fantasy guys into action. We actually have some news because it's like, it's July 31st, and they're telling us camps are starting. You turn on NFL Network, and it's like inside training camp live. We've been through so many of these training camps now. It's like, our bodies are used to the routine of what this week would normally be like. But the reality is it's not really happening.
It's not.
It's not happening. Like, the season's happening in theory on time. But for now, it's just we're just kind of waiting around.
Let me reframe this, Mark. Luke Skywalker comes back to life on Star Wars, and Mark Hamill signs on for the role, and they're going to do the anti-aging thing, and it's going to be some hero's journey for Skywalker. All the Star Wars people, they're going to have their quote unquote panties in a bunch and about it because that's exciting in their world.
And it's not a time to be, you know, let people find the joy they can find in this tough off season. So that I'm not some sort of Grinch over it. All I said was that I logged off Twitter. I didn't report them. I didn't mute them or block them. I get it. And they're playing the role and I'm very happy for them. I took a break. That was simply a personal
choice. Your joy comes from using the word, you know, panties repeatedly. Apparently, just like you just love saying that word.
You seem to enjoy doing that just as much as anyone else, right there, Greg. So, what is happening to this news segment?
Erica, can you jump on?
No, let's.
Are you more comfortable with us saying panties or
no.
pants?
Don't. Don't say it.
Either is kind of bad. Yeah, but if you say underpants like cutely, like you just did, then I guess it's like
underpants.
Sort of, yeah, it's like sort of funny. But I don't know.
I mean, I used it in a colloquial, in a phrase that's a common phrase.
Yeah.
Not just on its own. That's what Greg did.
All right. Listen, enough fun. We have to talk about COVID-19 some more. Oh. Lane Johnson, the right tackle of the Philadelphia Eagles, tested positive for COVID-19. He is one of several big name players that are on the COVID list. We're up to 66. Anthony Barr, the star linebacker of the Vikings, is one of 8 Minnesota players. Kenny Golladay, the star wide receiver of the Lions, and former first-round pick T.J. Hockenson, the tight end, is one of 7 players. They are one of 7 players for the Lions on the COVID list. And relatedly, after several positive tests, the Bills sent their rookies home and opted to go with some Zoom-type meetings rather than in person. And let me preface all this, or supplement this, by adding the Miami Marlins in baseball are up to 60% of their roster has tested positive for COVID. And the St. Louis Cardinals had to shut down their games this weekend because we learned this morning multiple players tested positive. Buckle up, baby!
The Bills thing was significant, I think, because it was the first example of guys who had been in the building then were told to leave the building, that they passed the test initially and then they were let in and then they started failing them. And so that's just, it's part of the issues that these teams are going to be dealing with this entire month. And the number is going to rise. Like, we'll get 20 or 30 more, you know, probably later today. We're taping this early and it's just complicated. But then again, a team like the Texans, who have been in longer than anyone because they got to show up first, they've had like, you know, 3 or 4 straight days where everyone's in the building and everyone's passing it. But so far, yeah, like 15 guys on the Vikings and Lions especially seems like a lot.
I mean, for me, it's I'm feeling more optimistic, to be honest. I know all the stuff is happening right now. But this is when it would happen, right? You're getting everyone in fresh off the streets and where they've come from. And, you know, you hoped you get the cases out of the way and you move forward. Football has this distinct advantage that baseball does not. And baseball is getting killed by it right now. Games every day in baseball. You're having to cancel left and right just to comply with the basic, you know, testing procedures. Football could be real thorny too, but you have a 7-day break in between most of these games, and it gives players a chance to go into whatever COVID protocol they call it and back out. I mean, look, it's still,
and you're only traveling 8 times a year.
Right. And I, you know, people said, "Oh, well, they should, you know, aren't baseball teams actually only traveling 9 times a year for most of them in this 60-game slate where they're trying to say it's so different, but the issue is you're traveling once for one game in baseball, you know, like these series, it's going to get tough to make them up. How do you finish? It's just not a baseball podcast, but football seems to have a better shot of completing one game per week per team. We'll see. It's a massive wild card.
I mean, it is. I'm just like trying to think like how if what happened, what's happening in baseball right now, if something similar happens in football and a team just can't play, I guess you have a bye week to move. I would think at some point, and these conversations are probably going on around the clock at 345 Park Avenue, if they're going to make some type of more flexible nature to the schedule that maybe adds in another bye week or something that allows them to have a little more wiggle room in case they lose a team for
a week. I think they'll have contingencies, and they have said, you know, they kind of built it out so that it could go as the Super Bowl in theory could go as late as the end of February, which was 3 weeks later. So I think to your point, Dan, they're ready, and it hasn't all been written down. And I think that was one thing. I think the NFL's watching Major League Baseball, and they're figuring that out as they go. And I think what the NFL might learn from that is they want to have, here's what the procedure is if this happens, if there is an outbreak. Because it sort of felt like either the MLB wasn't putting that out there, or they didn't really have it written down of what they were going to do. They were just kind of making up.
And the problem here, of course, what do we got?
All right, this just in, Antonio Brown is being suspended for 8 games for violation of the NFL personal conduct policy, beginning whenever he signs, per league source.
Hmm. Good one, Ricky.
Or doesn't sign.
Thought he was retired. I don't
That's
know.
Real breaking news.
I mean, basically, Lamar Jackson is not the only good quarterback who's trying to get him on his team. Lamar Jackson said it publicly, and John Harbaugh, his coach, on Thursday said, well, okay, that's, you know, I take Lamar's opinion seriously, which sounded like he was, you know, John Harbaugh was open to it. And then Harbaugh even hinted at this was coming, that it was his understanding that he wasn't really allowed to play yet. And now that this is out there, some team will probably, just based on those Harbaugh comments, it seems like some team might take a shot. It might just be the Ravens.
Hmm. Now back to your, you know, baseball takes or whatever you were saying, Greg.
I have no baseball takes.
By the way, Lamar Jackson had a worrying quote about Antonio Brown. That's
something like he's a guy we need in our locker room.
You know? Well, they know each other.
He was working out with him this offseason.
I feel like we have a lot of evidence to say that is not someone you need in your locker room, but the guy can play. And we've also said we're not talking to Antonio Brown on the show unless there's some tangible news. That's tangible news. Now there's a structure in place for that discipline, and teams can make their decision whether they want to get in bed with that player. My point I was going to make before we move on out of this COVID talk is, yes, the NFL could build in some flexibility about pushing back the Super Bowl to late February. But it's a catch-22, because the longer the season lasts, the more you leave yourself open to calamity with positive testing. There's no foolproof method for this.
No. Motto. The foolproof method is the country having cases under control. And even that's not foolproof, but that's right. That's the best method.
I feel like a nuclear bomb would need to land for them not to play the opener on that Thursday night in September. I just feel they're hell-bent on that happening. From there, it's, hang on, we'll see what happens.
Unless one of those teams get
banged. Everything's in flux, but just seems the idea of delaying the start of the season, which might make just as much sense, you're not hearing a lot about that.
In other news, unsigned franchise player Yannick Ngakoue of the Jaguars has not reported to camp. We all know Ngakoue wants out desperately of Jacksonville. He said he has no plans, or as we understand, he has no plans to sign his franchise tag and end his holdout anytime soon. Since he's not technically under contract because he hasn't put pen to paper, you can't find him the way you would find a player that would hold out in a traditional sense. So that this is a bit of a Texas standoff, if you will, here from Kingsland. Doug Marrone told reporters this week that he has not even been in contact with the lineman.
Hmm. He's the only holdout. He's not a holdout technically, as you mentioned, but he's it. But it's also, it's a great year to just stay away. I mean, no one's even practicing for two and a half weeks. What is Ngakoue really missing as long as he's in shape. But he is the only one. There is not a veteran contract holdout, which is partly, I think, because of the pandemic. But I think a lot of it is just the new CBA so aggressively discouraged people from holding out because they're going to take, you can take your money away. And it's working. There's no veterans out there looking for more money entering this game.
I guess, like, because he could play on another team under the tag. So maybe there's a scenario where if you had enough cap money, someone would, you know, if they viewed themselves as a win this year type team. And I looked at a couple teams that have 20 million plus cap room, and I see them as playoff potential. Bills, Eagles, Titans, Patriots, Colts. Each of them.
It's hilarious. Them, the Patriots have 20 million in cap room. They had zero when they signed Cam Newton. Right. If I'm Cam Newton, I would be like, hey, how about give me some of that money?
Corona helped them out financially. I mean, if in no other way.
Radio silence in Jacksonville. Some contact in Tennessee. The mystery surrounding defensive end Vic Beasley. He has been in contact with Titans GM John Robinson. He will, Beasley, report to the team in the, quote, near future. Beasley was a no-show for the first few days of 2 days of camp. And it made you wonder if he was going to be opting out for the season. But at this point, it seems like that's not the case. It's the same Beasley that had 15 and a half sacks a few years back, and that is something that the Titans could really use on their defense.
I know you're excited about these Titans now, Dan. You're just...
Me?
You've gone all the way around. You're a big Titans guy now. Big
I wouldn't
Titans
say that.
Guy.
They're fine. They're fine. They're just another team, you know? But they're not the Titans anymore. That's over. Just like the, you know, the Washington R words, that's gone. So too is the T word on the Around the NFL podcast. Unless they somehow reacquired Marcus Mariota and then spent 4 years convincing themselves that he's a franchise quarterback. I don't know. I don't think that's going to happen, though. In other news, spinning through the old league, the league of ball, football, that is.
Really vamping here. we're wrapping up, you know, an off-season storyline we've spent a lot of time on here, finishing up the news.
Monday Night Football. Let's get a little update on what's going on in the booth for ESPN, which has been obviously the worldwide leader, has been trying to land a big fish. Tony Romo, Peyton Manning, Al Michaels, Drew Brees. None of these things worked out. So what do they do? And our buddy, I'm reading this. This is the info I'm getting here from Andrew Marchand, our buddy at the New York Post. Would love to have him again on the show. He's their media guy. And he does a great job. He likened it to ESPN trying to land a franchise quarterback and instead landing on some game managers. Steve Levy, Brian Griese, Louis Riddick, all will be in the booth for Monday night games this year. We'll see if this is a long-term situation, Greg, with all the big money deals coming up and ESPN and ABC maybe looking to eventually get that franchise star. But it looks like we have some adults in the booth that should be able to deliver a professional broadcast that doesn't drive everyone completely insane.
Right, which is great. I mean, we've talked about it. There's so many times I'm watching, like, the Fox's fourth team and just thinking, like, well, this would be better than Monday Night Football. Like, they're doing a fine job. I think Louis Riddick has a really high ceiling. I like him. I wish it was a two-man booth. I just feel like you're just asking for it with the three-man booth. It's just, it's harder for everyone, and they haven't all worked together before. But I do think it'll be an upgrade, and they'll make Monday nights a lot less frustrating for us. I know for Wes, this is going to be a welcome news for Wes.
He needed this.
Well, they needed to make a change, and they probably should have made one last offseason, and they kind of, you know, stuck to it. I do wonder, though, if you're Louis Riddick, because I think he could really shine on Monday Night Football. Are they legit game managers where they're basically just going to turn around when things get back to normal and replace them with the team they really want, with one of these, like, shiny, you know, retired quarterbacks? I hope that if they thrive, they give a chance of them sticking around. I had a very interesting interaction that I really can't repeat on this show with Brian Griese in 1999 that will forever shade how I feel about the person. But I
positively or negatively.
I will just
doesn't
say
it sound positive.
It To be fair, I mean, this was a long time ago. This is a totally different person back then. I will just leave it at that. But I hope it went well.
Bare knuckle parking lot brawl?
Not a brawl.
Sessler v. Greasy?
I mean, why would I get into it? He is huge. Like, you just think he's a quarterback. He's actually a giant person.
Wait, all right. Without getting into the whole story, but altercation with Greasy?
No. An unpleasant interaction where I probably should not have bothered him. I saw him out on the town in downtown Denver and should have not bothered him.
He was sort of infamous. He was in the news quite a bit for, his drinking. And had some legal issues because of it too. So right around that time. So I'm not trying to
put
it all together. He was famous in Denver for living the high life as a player. Tough spot trying to replace John Elway. You know, people.
Yeah, I think that was part of it. Was
fondly.
It was a tough transition, and maybe I caught him in an off moment.
And in Brian's defense, Mark and I have been in the news for drinking as well at times.
Yeah, no, I'm not really
social circle, but.
I'm not really judging him. I just, I was also out on the town.
It's not going to come up in a big Google search like I just did for Greasy, just to make sure, you know.
Well, this didn't make
for
the
you
news,
guys,
per se.
I'm saying
that's good. Probably shouldn't have made this news show either, so.
Mark and I have avoided the blotter, so that's a good start. all right, and one last thing. Get well soon, Tom Coughlin, the former Giants coach. And Jaguars executive fractured four ribs, slightly punctured his lung, and needed stitches in his head after a bicycle accident last weekend in Jacksonville.
Dang.
Hospitalized for the night. In the words of Coughlin, another man on a racing bike comes out of nowhere and clips the front of my bike. 73 years old. Looks like he's on the mend. Can you even imagine? It sounds like he got roughed up, Tom, here. But if Tom had any of his faculties after he got knocked off the bike, you know, in the middle of this park, he's finding a switch from the nearby brush and just lashing into this other biker. Just seven shots on the hiney.
I think it's always weird that you see anything where
reckless wick of a snapper.
That's possible. Maybe that's what he would have done. But whenever a famous person gets into a car accident or a bike accident like this with a total unknown, I think it would be weird to be the person on the other end that like the person that got saved by Joaquin Phoenix. Remember that? I don't think that seemed like a PR stunt to me, but Joaquin Phoenix pulled a man out of his car in the right. Hollywood streets. It just, I don't know how I could, didn't Sean McVay save someone? There are all sorts. A lot of them seem like PR levers, but
there was a similar situation. My boy Bono from U2 was biking in Central Park 5 years ago and almost killed himself. Same thing. He said someone cut him off. Imagine you killed Bono in Central Park on your bike.
It would be terrible.
It's like you run the guy over. It's like, wait, who was that? All right. Let's do the mailbag. That's what's happening in the news. All right. Buckle up, Greg. We're going to have to connect with our listeners.
You are presenting this in a totally ridiculous way. Maybe I miss being able to kill segments. It used to be kind of a whole bit. So, you're just setting it up for me.
Okay.
The last mailbag.
All right. The last mailbag, let's call this. Mm-hmm. All right, let's get it going. We'll start with Get Funny. How deeply do you think the Patriots' opted-out defense will affect Cam's stock for next season? And if things don't go well, do you foresee issues developing during the season? Greg, when I saw this, the reason I pulled this one out is I remember what you wrote about Cam when he signed with the Pats, that he finally got some good luck. And it's hard not to see this as another stroke of bad luck, that he gets to the Patriots, the backbone of the defense disappears, and he has to make good now with a lesser Patriots team.
Yeah, I think the defense had a recipe to decline even before losing Hightower. Chung, I'm not too worried about. I don't think it affects Cam at all in terms of his value. Cam's going to play well, based on what McDaniels puts out there for him and how the offense plays. And I don't see, whether they win games or lose games, obviously it'd help them if they're going into the playoffs and everything. But he's going to be able to set his value, reset it. And heck, all this salary cap space, maybe it'll be the Patriots that give him a nice contract if he's playing well.
Mark, I'll tee you up on this one from our buddy Neil Dutton. We love Neil. What classic movie most deserves a reboot that hasn't had one yet? We don't need another look at the Spider-Man origin. Although those movies, the latest reboot, are excellent. I've been watching them with my kids. We need a modern take on Logan's Run, in my opinion, Neil says. What about you, Mark?
Well, I mean, well, that works for me because Logan's Run, I don't like that movie at all. I saw that at a YMCA lock-in in seventh grade, and like it did a bad things to the room.
I remember that.
I just, because I was like, this is the weirdest movie to show a bunch of third and fourth graders. It was had a lot of adult themes, I thought, going through it. I would look, if I most remakes just shouldn't happen. Let's start there. But if you want to make some money, I think you could redo The Outsiders, and you could be like a parade of like today's biggest young stars, and that, you know, the themes could be changed and altered a little bit and updated. I get scared of things like, I could see them making like Lebowski 2020, like just don't do certain things, please. With a lot of remakes, just like don't remake Goonies, don't remake maybe I would maybe redo The Graduate, or like you know, it's like that shouldn't be remade because it's a good movie. But if you updated it where like Dustin Hoffman was the grandfather and all that chaos that he spun is happening like two generations down. Or I'm more into like certain sequels they should do than remakes. But what about you guys? Maybe Ferris Bueller's Day Off? I don't know.
No, I think maybe part of what Neil is getting at is not necessarily a remake, but an origin story type tale where you learn what happened before. I'm very excited about, because I'm just finishing like my fifth rewatch of The Sopranos. I have two episodes left. The Saints, The Many Saints of Newark, I believe it's called, is a movie that's coming out next year that's going to kind of tell you about the backstory of Tony Soprano's father and the group that was around him when he was coming up, and a young Tony Soprano played by James Gandolfini's real life son, James Gandolfini, who sadly passed away in 2013. That I love that idea.
Right, but that's fun to me. I like that too, but that's a essentially a prequel, or that's not a remake. Would you remake Sopranos? Right. I wouldn't touch that nonsense.
No. All right, let's move on. Kyle Slick, do you think the San Diego Chargers, the org, not players, regret moving to L.A.? Is there a future where they find their way back to San Diego or maybe move to another market? Is the lack of excitement long-term or temporary? It's so hard to tell anything right now, and it's not just an LA thing, it's a world thing, about something that seems suddenly so small as whether an NFL team will get a footing in terms of local fan base, but it certainly was foreboding in terms of moving into the SoFi Stadium this fall and the idea of trying to get a stadium filled with fans that are rooting for the home team. Whether it ever happens or not, I don't know. But it did cause me to do a little bit of quick research, and I don't know if this has changed because this reporting is October of 2018. But according to Mike Florio, the Chargers have a firm 20-year lease at SoFi Stadium, and the Chargers hold a pair of exclusive 10-year options after the 20 years. So unless there's a wiggle room or this has changed since that report, Chargers aren't going anywhere. I'd love for them to go back to San Diego. It feels like they should have never left. Money got in the way of all that. But it seems like they're going to have to force themselves to make it work here.
I don't think they have any regrets at all. The Spanos family, the ownership, they had a bad relationship with the city of San Diego, with the stadium there. They weren't going to be able to build their own stadium. They wanted to get out of there. And I think they felt fortunate that they were able to jump in on this Rams deal. Whether that's good for Chargers fans or the NFL is another matter. It's not, I mean, it hasn't been. It's not. I mean, but this is, it's a different, it's a family, it's a team. They don't have their money in other businesses. I saw something that they, you know, they bought that team for $84 million in like the 80s, something like that. I mean, Joey Bosa's guaranteed money was about what the team cost for them to buy. They're not one of the most cash rich teams. That's no secret. They're praying this thing works out, but they're basically just kind of hanging on to the Rams' coattails. It's not a good place to be. I mean, it wasn't a good place for the Clippers to be. Hasn't been a good place earlier for the Jets to be. Like, you don't want to be that second team just kind of hanging on to the other one.
But you don't think there are any regrets, you're saying?
I don't, because they had no, you know, if the NFL could have forced them to sell, that might have been, you know, like, this was their way out. They're still getting that same check that every team gets. They split it 32 ways. It's the most, you know, anti-capitalist idea possible for the most like money-making capitalist thing is they're getting that same check from the TV revenue and everyone else that all the teams get. So they were happy to solve the stadium because they were in an untenable situation.
I think there's no regrets with leaving the situation in San Diego. The idea that everyone is going to look with rose-colored glasses at what's happening in L.A. is, to me, I have a problem with that. I think the best advice coming from ex-Raiders and Rams players and people involved with when both teams were here in the past was L.A. is not a two-team town. It should not be. It just shouldn't be. And that was when they had the Raiders and Rams teams in the playoffs. They had attendance issues. This sticks out as an isolated big problem for the NFL. If this season were going as we expected, Chargers attendance would be one of the bigger stories.
NFL is way more popular, though. That's something to consider. Like, there were a lot of stadiums that were half empty all the time back then, you know, and now there aren't any. And I think there was, I don't know if they're going to get Chargers fans in there, but they're going to get people in there. They're going to get people who want to watch NFL games. They're going to get the opposition just like they did at the last place.
The problem is that's
a mess for the players.
It's a problem when the team that should have probably come to LA if you wanted to do two was the Raiders and they went to Las Vegas. I mean, you could just have a common sense conversation with most people and they could identify issues with this.
A little internal podcast questioning here from Josh Rosnowski. When does the behind-the-scenes doc of the Wheel of Teams come out? How many episodes? A segment meant to shine a light on less talked-about teams cut short prematurely after landing on 7 highly talked-about teams, including the Jets. Seems like there is a story there.
There is no story. The Titans were one of the teams, first of all. There were some random. We knew that it was part of the issue with that from the beginning. We knew we weren't going to get to all of them. We were going to get to as many as we hoped. But there was no chance at doing it weekly, starting in May or whatever, that we were ever going to get to.
Well, I'd say to the person who asked the question, keep digging.
Luke Robbins. How's that name familiar? Because he is the man who wrote the great Connie Fox song. Right. Not the winning song. Let me start over. Because I totally thought this is the guy that wrote the song that won. But it turns out he wrote a song that didn't win. Luke Robbins says, at what point am I, the creator of the controversial Connie Fox Cox song, going to be commissioned to create a theme song for Patrick Claibon? I think this guy's too hot. I don't think he... I think he's a little too... toxic with his songwriting styles, and I just don't think he is that guy, but I respect that he's throwing his name in the ring. But of course, this is a democracy. I'm curious what you guys think. Well, Patrick Claibon does deserve a song.
It's a big leap to say commissioned, because you gave us the previous work for free. Commission suggests
just make it and send
right,
it.
Right,
you're the only one right now, but it is a good idea. It'd be good to get a Claibon song. And I apologize. Colleen was on a couple weeks ago when you guys were on, and I totally forgot about, you know, bringing the song back.
Did? Some That's a stunner.
Listeners let me know that we should have had the song. But I know she wants to join us next week, so that there's a little tease for next week.
So we did like a month-long contest to pick a song, and your first role in the host chair with Connie on, didn't play the song.
Didn't even think about it. Neither did Ricky, so, you know.
Oh, you're throwing Erica under the bus. That feels...
Sure.
No, it's not right.
I asked you. I was like, should we play the song?
And now Erica's...
Oh, wait a minute.
She's completely making... Ricky's great.
I'll find the slack.
I'll give Ricky credit. She's a great liar. You know?
Ricky's going full Jamal Adams now, just making up lies.
I have receipts. I was like, hey.
I would have loved to have. I love that song.
We got to intro Colleen, and he was like, Dan and his stupid ideas. Like, I hate this song. Like, I have it in writing.
Wow. Well, let's. Speaking of digging,
you've almost convinced Mark. Mark is the one guy who will fall for your nonsense.
What nonsense?
Now you're slinging an arrow at me. Like
I'm just saying, the looks on his face. He was like,
you're pretty defensive, Greg.
He was buying it.
Yeah, it just seems like you're protesting heavily. So,
well, that's what you do when someone's coming at you. I pushed for that song to win. The segment was lesser because of it.
Can we? I don't know what's happening with Greg today. Erica, can we hear one of the Connie Fox songs that didn't win, just for fun?
Connie's here. She's gonna piece it all together for us. Finally someone we can trust. Connie's here. Why are all these animals smiling? What could they be hiding? Connie Fox will solve the puzzle.
Nice.
That's such beautiful. A Connie Fox vibe to it, a version of an aspect of Connie that we know.
I never thought there would be an original song tied to this podcast that had the French horn in it, and yet here we are. TMR Trooper is another longtime listener of the show. What's more likely, Dan permanently moves to Texas or Greg returns to Martha's Vineyard as the prodigal son? A little biblical talk there from TMR in a big spot. I'll start. Texas is a great place. I've really enjoyed my time here. It's too hot. I got to be honest with you. It's too hot here. That bothers me. But other than that, I like the state. I like the people. I like there's family here. I would not rule it out as a possibility. It's not likely to happen, but I truly do enjoy my time here. How about you, Greg?
I'll never move back to Master. I never lived in Martha's Vineyard. I lived there once for a summer, bumming around waiting tables. So I've never lived there, but my parents live there. I don't think I'll ever live on the East Coast again. I would be surprised.
Greg, how about this? Would you ever take a waiter's job again?
I would. I think about all the other little random jobs that I wouldn't mind doing, like later in life. Maybe waiting doesn't really give you that much satisfaction, but it's good for the cash. It's not bad. You see new people.
Rip Ricky, I'm gonna keep you on screen here. Our buddy Christopher, sing for the day. Team with the best chance to go from last place in the division in 2019 to a playoff spot in 2020. The Miami Dolphins, these are options. The Miami Dolphins with Tua. The Cardinals, Kyler Murray making the leap candidate. The Lions with a healthy Matthew Stafford. And the Bengals with young Joe Burrow. Most likely of that group.
I'd say the Cardinals. I think with DeAndre Hopkins added to that list and Kyler has a second year, that's my vote.
I feel like the only one that would shock me is if we saw the Dolphins in the playoffs. The other three, football's crazy.
I wouldn't be shocked by the Dolphins. You know, I wouldn't. But I kind of am starting to feel like the Lions have something up their sleeve. I already think that they're a wild card team.
Football Outsiders had them as, I mean, they were almost all four teams almost had the exact same projection from them. But the Lions, by just like a decimal point, were their NFC North favorites.
Matt Stafford, when he's healthy, is badass. And also their COVID list, like I think, didn't they even put like Kerryon Johnson? Like they have like
they got seven guys on it.
I feel like they're in a good
Kerryon Johnson, not on the COVID list. But I mean, this is, the COVID list is interesting because you actually don't even know who got COVID or not unless the players want to say TJ Hockenson. It's also 6 weeks away from the season right now, so I don't put too much on.
Oh, it was Kenny Golladay. I'm sorry. And TJ Hockenson. Yeah.
Kenny Golladay.
But either way, like that, it's a really, like, they're beefy.
You know, the Lions, the Lions need something up their sleeve. I know they went to the playoffs a few years back and they got robbed in that playoff game against the Cowboys, I think it was. They should have won the game. Something happened wacky at the end. But you know the game, right?
Of course.
It was before.
Lions fans are listening right now. They're like, yes, we know the game. This is the most painful memory of our last 20 years. We don't have much.
It's a rough loss.
It was that call. It was a rough call.
What was the call while we're here?
Against the Cowboys.
Just refresh my memory.
It was, I don't even remember.
It was the week before Dez caught it. All right. Cool.
This is radio.
Mark. This from Drew. How is Mark finding his Blue Jays fandom so far? Mark, a fan of the not Toronto Blue Jays, but the Buffalo Blue Jays.
It's a 1 year contract. I think a lot of people thought I'd probably watch that Sunday and then never again. I've watched every one of their games. I actually watched the entire 10 inning loss they had. This guy, Yamaguchi, who's lost, he's been dinged up in two extra innings losses. Get him out of there. This guy cannot deal with it. But they
have
a
closer.
He's played that role in these extra inning games. I'm not one of these guys that pretends I know everything about the team because I've been following them for 4 days. People ask me questions. I say, I have no idea what the answer is. But I also don't have a baseball eye, but I did watch this guy, Nate Pearson, pitch, and he looked like the real deal to me. I mean, he was super solid. So I think they're a frisky team. They're 3-4 right now. They took these. They were in much better position 2 days ago. They're out of commission for Corona on the weekend. Terrible timing. They are frisky. I could see them as a wild card team. Aren't a ton of baseball teams getting in the playoffs anyways?
Yeah, half.
Yes,
more than half.
So they're in.
Expanded it.
Barring a meltdown.
Well, they may not.
They got to finish.
They got to have 16 teams able to play the playoffs. 20% of the league is out this weekend with Corona-related delays, which is that's a pretty big percentage.
Got to keep the faith.
Yeah, that's pretty rough right now. But you picked a really good team, Mark. That is a team. They are in the American League East with my Yankees, and they have an awesome young core. Bo Bichette. These are all guys tied to former stars. Bo Bichette, his father, Mark, that's right in your
Isn't
mid-90s.
Isn't that a Star Wars character, Mark?
I think you're thinking of Boba Fett. He's not that person. Biggio's son.
Kevin Biggio, Craig Biggio's son. Bo Bichette, Dante Bichette's son. And Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Vlad Guerrero Sr.'s son. I mean, all those guys are peak prospects.
I took a lot of advice from baseball watchers on which team to pick, and they got a lot of mentions, and that's why I went there, and I'm glad I did. They have been fun to watch.
All right, a couple more. From Scryde, would you trade not being on the cover of the Gatesville Messenger for a release of the Delaware tapes? In a second, I would give up the cover of the Messenger. And I wanted to thank, by the way, Heather Ashley, who wrote the piece that was on the front page of this week's Messenger of the Old Zeuser. But I would give it all up if Greg just finally gave us the tapes, produced the Delaware tapes, and just made us all so happy in this time where there's not a lot of happiness.
I like that you think I've just had them and I'm holding out all these years.
And Delaware, of course, is Greg's prog rock band that he started in high school, and he was the lead singer.
Ugh.
One day. Ricky, Dan of the Avenue, can you rank the Taylor Swift albums?
That's like big naming. That's harder than naming your firstborn. Like, I cannot. Okay, well, let me preface saying this. Like, it's probably the hardest thing I've ever had to do. And I think no matter what I say will be controversial, but that's just a testament to Swifties and their passion, you know? So, hot take right off the bat, 1989, her release in 2014, banger after banger. Album's actually perfect from start to finish besides Shake It Off, right? Second, it can go anyway. Fearless, 2008. You got Fearless, 15, Love Story, Forever and Always. I mean, come on. Third, Red, 2012. You know, you got 22, All Too Well, I Knew You Were Trouble. Speak Now is fourth, even though it's incredible. Mine, Mean, Dear John, like Enchanted, Hello, Lover, all the way down at number 5 in 2019. And it's still freaking perfect, right? Lover, Paper Rings, Cornelia Street. Now I've got Folklore after that. It is Grown on Me.
The new album.
Like it, the newest, 2020, you know, August, great Last American Dynasty, all that stuff. Taylor Swift's self-titled album in 2006, I think. You know, you got Should Have Said No, Picture to Burn, Teardrops on My Guitar, like real grassroots Taylor. So like it's awesome. And then Reputation in 2017 obviously is going to be last, but it's still not even bad. Like you have Don't Blame Me, So It Goes, Gorgeous, you know. I think
New Year's Day.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many good ones.
It's great songs in that album.
Even though it's the worst one, you know? So it's like, what are we doing here?
Delicate? You got Delicate on that record?
Oh. Come on.
That's good. That was a good list.
Thank you. I think, yeah, it's really tough off the top. They're all so good. There's no wrong answer, you know?
Good job, Ricky.
Thank you.
I pretty much agree with you. I don't know her earlier stuff, but I trust you on that. And finally, this one, I guess this guy started a Twitter handle to ask this question, or he just talks about this constantly. This from the Slim Big Ben Revenge Tour, at Slim Big Ben 007. How good do you think Skinny Big Ben will be? Roethlisberger, the Steelers quarterback, who's known for being, you know, a bit zaftig, you know, a bit. Is been working out after that elbow surgery, and apparently he's really trimmed down some of the body mass index. But is a skinny Big Ben a guy that we want? I feel like Big Ben is the guy we need.
It's not Skinny Ben. Big Ben for a reason.
I think it's good for him, but you know, wait and see. Steelers, like, not getting talked about as much as I think they should be this offseason.
Not really at all. They seem to be going right under the radar. But this is a weird offseason to say that anyone is kind of under the radar because everything is kind of just buried right now. Right.
How much weight did he lose? How skinny is he? I don't know,
but
he looks
the other
good
reason
in
why
the little workout in the little workout videos, but you haven't really seen much. He seems in good shape. He played fairly well in 2018. They're a Super Bowl contender. I don't know how under the radar they are. To me, they're a top five team, and I top five or six.
I just don't think they're talked about as a top five team this offseason. And I hear what you're saying, Dan, but I mean, in their own division, I think probably the Ravens get talked about endlessly, and probably the Browns get talked more about than the Steelers this offseason, which is absurd.
Let's see. The reason I bring this up, because in another mailbag, Jay Glazer writes a mailbag, not the mailbag. He had a little crack at Big Ben's expense that his idea of an off-season workout was one yoga class and then going to the bar or something. I couldn't remember exactly what he said. But it led to Jay Glazer having to have a conversation with Roethlisberger to clear the air, because Big Ben thought that was selling him short on his how hard he's worked during his rehab. So, listen, Big Ben's plugged in. He's skinny. I don't know if that's the best version, but we'll find out.
He hears the chirping. He's someone who's very interested in what the listeners are saying. His Twitter followers are saying. He's all over it.
Are you still blocked, Greg? Have you checked in a while?
I can check. I assume I still would be. What is it? It's weird.
We were
it's
all
like
unblocked.
Big Ben 7 or something? Underscore 7?
Big Ben 7.
Hey, way to go locking up that name, Big Ben underscore 7.
All right. While Greg looks that up,
that's blocked. It
for the mailbag.
I'm blocked.
Still blocked.
Nice. Good job. Thank you to everybody for listening to this week's shows. We'll be back again with a full slate of audio shows, so make sure you check that out. Listen, everybody have a nice weekend. Enjoy it. Be safe. Stan Hansen signing off for Quiet Storm, the mailman, the old boss, and Rick Hollywood behind the glass. Till Monday.
No time for small talk. Hit that button fast. Everybody have a good week.